Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is not Miss Mary. This is her brother-in-law. Miss Mary will not be with us today because she is dealing with her eye doctor. She had an eye exam today. So, excuse me. I want you to think about this. Think about Matthew 22:37-39, and it deals with the gospel, in the gospel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the question to you today is, who is your neighbor? Is your neighbor? I want you to listen in and take a moment and reflect on that. And then we will have this discussion. All right, you had a moment to reflect on the question and to think about the scripture, the foundation for the question. That foundation for the question comes out of, supposed to do what? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And second is like unto it. That's what Jesus says. I'm paraphrasing it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what we're going to process today is, what does it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I want you to think about that part of the question, too. Who is your neighbor? And do you love yourself? So my whole thing is that if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. You're going to love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. So if you hate yourself, you're going to hate your neighbor. But let us reflect on that. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting creator, we give you thanks and we give you praise because you sent your beloved son to us to give us a manual for life and how we can have unity and not division. I just thank you and praise you for a time as this. When division is the norm, if division is the norm, not unity. And, oh God, we're just waiting now. We're standing firm on your word, waiting to see how you're going to manifest yourself in the midst of this chaos and confusion at times that we are living in. In the name of your beloved Son, our Messiah, amen. All righty. Now, I'm going to read the scripture again, and then we're going to get into discussion. And I want you to talk to me. I don't believe in people talking at people. Whenever God put in my spirit to get do a radio broadcast, he put in my spirit at the same time that I should have the type of broadcast system that people could interact, not just that was people were talking at people, talking at people, and people had questions. And because people had questions, they needed somebody to answer. They needed an answer. And the person that was talking at that time, if they couldn't stop and ask them, the question, then lots of time you forget it. That's one purpose of this. It's not for people to just talk at you. We want you to engage and interact with us, interact with us. And so doing, we all grow because your insights and your relationship empowers us. This is our message to you, empowers you. And if you hear anything on this radio station that there's not foundation in the word, you can always contact us, Crown Talking Drums, with an S, the number 12 at gmail.com. Now, I'm getting back to that scripture, which was, these words that Jesus spoke about 2,000 years ago. And I wonder what was it like then when he spoke them. Think about it. Words of peace? Did people love each other? There had to be a reason for him to make the statement the way he made it. And we want to see how that applies to us today. About 2,000 years ago, we see what Jesus said. Jesus, he responded to the question, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the greatest commandment? That was a question that Jesus was wrestling with that was put to him, tried to trip him up. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, comma, and with all thy soul, comma, and with all thy mind. Now let's just take those three things. Said, well, all your heart. Well, whenever I first heard that, my thought was, well, my heart is a muscle. I didn't understand what the meaning of heart was, the way it was used in that way Jesus used it, until much later. And I want you to tell me what you think heart is, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then once we work through that, we will get to the second. It's like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, what is your opinion? What is your response? Sister Barfield, I know you're out there.
Yes, I am.
So how did
you mean my response?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still there?
Repeat it again, what you want me to. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you repeat?
The question is,
repeat it again.
Whenever you heard the scripture being read, what came to you, what came in your mind whenever you, when Jesus responded and said that you love the Lord with all your heart, love God with all your heart.
Well, what comes to mind to me for your heart, soul, and mind, that means that I don't know, explaining in my own words, it means that it's the most important thing for us all to do. Love is always, I would say, you know how they say love would be an action verb.
Mm-hmm.
So to love, to have love for the first part with all your heart, I guess it's like, I can't hardly explain it, but like the heart is where you can't hide. You can't hide anything, even within yourself. You can say something that is not the truth, but your heart and how you really feel would reveal it. So to love with all your heart, you're aware that this is the most important thing, and you're willing to give of yourself. You're willing to, if you love somebody, especially, it's saying love the Lord thy God with all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you love the Lord, it's that you will, now these are my own words because I'm trying to figure out the best way to explain.
Okay, but that's what we want. See, your relationship with God is different from my relationship with God. It's different from the lady down the street or the man down the street relationship with God. So just what is it that you feel, that you sense in your spirit?
Well, what I sense is that love, okay, down the street. To love the Lord God with all your heart means that you will do what he expects of you, which is, you know, of course, written all in the Bible. And some of the things that are expected is if you'll obey his commandments. And some of his commandments are telling you how to treat people, how to, you know, be able to forgive, because you will need to be forgiven yourself. So it's just, you know, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments.
Okay. Well, one of the things that you just said, and we don't talk about, is forgiving the self, self-forgiving. There's a lot of us walking around here because we can't forgive ourselves. Therefore, we cannot have a relationship with God or anyone else because we don't really feel good about ourselves. And one classical example that I always use, I have a cousin who works in VA, and I have a cousin, a friend of ours that works in VA in Alabama, and one worked in VA in Virginia. And my whole thing to them was that a lot of their clients, their basic problem is that they haven't forgiven themselves for the things that they've done, even though they did them according to what the state wanted them to do. And they were pretty much in agreement. And because I have friends that went to Vietnam, and they just racked them up, and they never really wanted to talk about it. And so they walked around with that in them, that unforgiveness of self. You see, Jesus said, the second commandment is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you look around today, you apply that scripture to the, let's just do just the society that we're in here in America. How could people hate another person and love themselves and say that they love God, that they never seen? And my whole thing is that for some reason, somewhere, they have not learned how to love themselves. It was something that took place in their lives, something that they did or something that they saw, that they have not been able to ask God to forgive them, or something that they did. That's how,
yeah,
when I apply that scripture to race relationship, to the way our politicians are acting, and our politicians, they got division is out there, not unity. It's division. And it's selfishness. When you, if you don't love yourself, then you're going, you can't love other people. So then if you can't love other people, you're selfish. It's all about you, about something or somebody that looks like you.
Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned about politicians, you would have to know what their hidden agenda is. Is it for love? You know, politicians have to deal with people that are in need of help. So is it because you really, you know, feel for them and you want to help, or is it, you know, I'm using that example of a politician, I believe you have to know what their motives are as to why they do a thing.
Well, what's in their heart, you can determine what their motives are based on what's in their heart, what's in their soul, and what's in their mind. Because when you open your mouth, you're going to speak that which is in your heart, that's what's in your soul, and that's what's in your mind. And as a result of that, you can tell what their motives are. And as I look and as I listen, and don't get me wrong, y'all, I'm not judging a soul. I am not. But you are known by your fruits. And what comes out of your mouth tells you, tell people who you are, tell people what you are. And as a result of that, we can then know how to deal with the situation and circumstances that we are in, that we find ourselves in. When you look at, and then you know who the enemy is. The enemy is a spirit in most instances. That individual that's standing there, that human being that's there, it's not that human being that's doing a lot of the stuff that they're doing. They're under the power of a demon, a demonic spirit. Because there's no way people can do one thing, say another, and then treat people like dirt. And we're not just talking about race, we're talking about even within race. You have the same problem that exists. Relationship. You cannot be in a relationship with anybody if you don't love yourself. Because eventually what's going to come out is that hatred that you have for you. And also, I look and help me to understand what's happening around the world as well. That's hate. And if I hate you, I can do anything to you and feel good about me. And I come in that understanding. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, even like around the world, it's just the hate is just a lot of power and control that they want. So their agenda, to me, is to be in control, is to have what other countries need. You have to come to me for, you know, what you need. So and if they don't have it, they're going to take it by force from someone else. So that's why I was saying it's just, so that's why I believe, like, love is the umbrella. If you don't have that, then everything else is just what you say is not what you really feel, then that, you know, they put a lie out there, but in their heart, it's not what they feel. And the reason they do it is because of the hidden agenda. So it reminds me of, one of the elders at my church, he always describes it as, you know, the heart where love is there and your true feelings it reminds me of, you know, how in airplanes, when the plane goes down and they go for the black box to see, it will detect the truth. So if you don't have love, you know, sometimes we may never know, but I believe that, you know, God will protect us from, you know, the lies, you know, the lies or the no love that people have for others, because we may never find out the truth. So in my mind, I always say, you know, God knows what's right and what's wrong. It would be up to him to handle. So love, I think, is the umbrella to everything.
Yeah, I have to agree. And now let's break love down too. You got love according to the word, and you got love according to the world. And whenever you're in the world, love is selfish. Love becomes, what is it that you have that you can give me or that I can give from you that's going to make me feel good? That's my perception of the love that's in the world. Now, other people may have a different perception of it. But before salvation came, that was my objective. It was, what's in it for me? If there's nothing in it for me, I won't be bothered with you. So that says something about me.
That's not love. That describes love.
Yeah, that's because now you're in the Word. But if you're in the world, your perception will have to change in order for you to survive. And that's whenever you receive salvation, that's whenever you move to another level. The salvation elevates you to a level where you can deal with all of this foolishness that's going on now. Like red states, blue states, that doesn't bother me anymore. At first, this is crazy. Look at all this. No, now, my thing now is I stand firm and watch God work. Because God's going to have the final say in the red states and blue states and the White House and the outhouse. He's going to have that final say. It's not about what man says. Man going to have to give account for man's behavior, for man's action. And I look at things now, in terms of loving your neighbor as yourself, a lot of things that's happening now has to do with because people are selfish and because of people's pride. And all that goes against the will of God. Because when it's God's will, we can see things differently. At least I can. And I don't get all bent out of shape. For example, I'm just going to use this radio station as an example. I have different people on the radio, different programs. When I started in 2017, there was about 5-6 people who have left that started out with us. Well, I didn't get upset when they left, and I didn't go around monitoring everything that they said because I took them at their word. But now the Holy Spirit is quickening me to, okay, now it's time to take this to another level. So now I have to listen to see what level people are at so that I have some idea as to where they need to be if they're not there already. I guess all I'm saying is that my love for them, for their message, I didn't feel a need to control.
Margaret.
And that's when you allow the word of God. You allow the word of God to control, the word of God to touch them. And you allow the word of God to do his work in their lives, to bring everything up to standards. And yeah, your love for them is one of the reasons that you invited them to be part of it. And then it's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
But love thy neighbor as thyself. If I didn't love self, I wouldn't have anybody on the radio but me. I would be the only one on. The Apostle Armstrong would be the only one that's on the radio. Not even relatives, not even friends, because I can look beyond me. I can love other people. I can love people who doesn't even look like me. Whenever you reach out to, because the word is colorblind. The gospel message is colorblind. It's for anybody who accepts it. But love thyself. You must love yourself. If you have problems with self, you're going to have problems with others. And that's true. And as we mentioned the heart, where I had to come into understanding about this heart thing was that I was too analytical about everything. Oh, how can that be heart? But I realized the heart is the center of you. Heart is the center of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Without the heart, you cannot survive. You cannot be. You have died. Because the heart is what pumps the blood. The blood carries oxygen. The blood carries nutrients and everything out to the very cells. And that's what's important. So we love God that way. And when we do that, that's whenever what comes out of our mouth is a reflection of God's word. Now, don't get me wrong now. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, because I'm not. We all fall sometimes. And when we fall, God has created a process that we don't have to stay down. If you stay down, it's because you chose to stay down, not because God wanted you down there. God giving you a way up. And that's just pull yourself up by your bootstrap. That's a bunch of bunk. You don't have boots? How you going to have bootstraps if you don't have boots? God said, confess your sin and repent, and he receives you back into his fold, back into his family. Whereas the world says, get up. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Or, I got this drug over here for you. You take this drug, you're going to feel better. Or you go exercise, and you're going to feel better. Now, what I'm... Okay, the thing we're dealing with is how do you love in a society that is based on, at this point now, based on division. Whenever it's based on division, because the world itself is separating people, separating the Christian from the non-Christian, separating the white from the non-white, separating the Asian from the non-Asian, separating the blacks from the non-blacks, and it just goes on and on, separating those who have a degree from those who don't have a degree, separating those who have a job from those who don't have a job, and it's making people feel bad because they don't have something. I just want you to just think about all of this as we look at what's happening in our society today. Look at what's happening just in families. You got brothers against brothers, sisters against sisters, mama against daughters, father against sons, and sons against fathers. All of that's division. And it's happening almost worldwide. I know in discussions that I've been in as a pastor, I find that there's a whole lot of division just in the family compared to where it was when I was a little boy. And when I was a little boy, families worked together. But now, not anymore. It's who can beat who out of something. Yes. Yes.
There's a lot of distractions that weren't, you know, years ago. You didn't have anything but your family years ago. Now you have 1,000 different ways to occupy your time outside of your family. So people are not as close as they should be.
Yeah, and I tell my children and people that I know is that the only thing you have really is your family. Your friends are not mm-hmm. your friends when you are in need. And I found that out mm-hmm. while I was in high school. My uncle had a little Corvair, and it was in 1960. He bought this little Corvair, not Corvette, Corvair. And people was envious of me because he let me drive his car. And people was envious of me. And he told me, he said, if I catch you racing, just don't race with my car. If I catch you racing, you're not going to drive anymore. Well, that's what happened. And guess who I was racing with? My friends. And guess who went back and told them? My friends. Guess who was walking? I was mm-hmm. walking. Guess what? My friends were still driving. And,
yes.
You have to learn who. And that's why my question was, who is your friend? Who is your friend? You say everybody mm-hmm. is my friend. Well, everybody, God wants everybody to be your friend. But what's in your friend's heart?
Mm-hmm.
What type of relationship does your friend have with God? What's in their soul? What's in their mind? If that doesn't line up with God's word, then the question mark, is that your friend? I mm-hmm. want us to think about things. And because it's not all that simple anymore the way it was years ago. Years ago, yeah. John lived over there. Susie and Jane lived over there. And we all were there together. We all were friends. What Jane had, that was yours. What John had was yours. And if John or Jane got sick, you were there helping them out, and vice versa. But now, do you really know them? No. Because why? Is it because we haven't reached out to them or they haven't reached out to us?
Yes.
They're our neighbor. Is there something about them that caused us not to want to reach out to them? And when you think about it, you make your decision based on people's fruits. And if their fruit is not right, then they're not your friend. They're your enemy. And I didn't judge anybody. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny that you bring that up, because I felt so bad. My son asked me the other day, now I've been living here in this house over 15 years, and there's about, I don't know, 7 houses in the cul-de-sac. And our neighbors, I mean, if we happen to, you know, driving or might wave or whatever, so my son asked me, how come we don't know our neighbors? How come we never, I mean, and I feel kind of bad because, I mean, that's just how it is. But it's not like how it, you know, in the olden days where you can run and get a cup of sugar or bar 2 eggs. Those days are over with. So even I have to try to find a way, you know, if I have to go to each and every door just to say hi and, you know, we're here, you know, we have to be here for each other, but we don't really speak our neighbors. So I guess over the years I haven't found a way to approach them. Not that they're, you know, they may at least wave, you know, if they happen to go by in the car, but I'm going to try to find a way to, because just as it says, love your neighbor, love, you know, yourself. It's like a neighbor doesn't have to be literal. It could be literal, as in your neighbor, but it's just neighbor. It's just like a way of saying we all live here together, and we want to live together in peace. And, you know, look out for each other. So.
Yeah. And
like they say, be friendly to have a friend. It's the same thing for neighbors. Have to be neighborly.
Now, I was about to go there, and I have neighbors in red states. Neighbors who are conservative, but there had to be something to bring us to a point where we could relate to each other. And some of them, they are back in Maryland, they are conservative, and even though Maryland's not a true red state, but they are conservative, and I'm not. They are Caucasian, and I'm not. But we are neighbors whenever we look at it from that perspective. We communicate sometimes still, but there was a common thread there, which was the word. Now, you say, how can a conservative and a non-conservative be neighborly or have common love for each other? That's possible. Because growing up, see, my foundation was growing up. I grew up in a rural area where we all worked together, white, black, blue, purple, or green. We all, if there was a problem in one house and it came to your attention, you went and you dealt with it, or you helped them. But now, no, I'm in the red state, so people living in red states don't like people living in blue states. Division. Well, I'm United Methodist, and you are Abraham Zion Methodist. I can't really associate with you because you're inferior because we have this. And then you're looking at me, I don't know why you're all over there in that white church. And y'all don't have salvation. And then the holiness and the non-denomination They're saying the same thing about the denomination. Division. Where is the love? There was a song. Where is the love? We all claim that we are children of the Most High. We all claim that we love Jesus. We all claim we are followers of his teaching. But the fruits doesn't show that. The fruits. When there's division, there's a wall built to keep people out. How can we be neighborly? And most of the time, you ask the question, who's benefiting from this? It's not the people. There's somebody higher than you that's benefiting from the division. Because you're here, I'm here, we're in the same situation. Your medicine costs $600. My medicine costs $600. You can't get medical insurance. I can't get medical insurance. The politicians are getting rich by the pharmaceutical companies. They are making these big donations to their campaigns. So who's benefiting from this? If we just could, who is that, Rodney King? Why can't we all just get along? If we could get along, then we could put people in those positions that will look out for our benefit. And if we, I take it a step further. If we could get along, our prayers would be different. Our prayers wouldn't be prayers of like hatred, or prayers of that don't want to accept John because John doesn't have the right color shoes. We would be saying our prayers would be different. We'd be reaching out to God on John's behalf because his John's shoes was his problem preventing us and they were creating a problem for him, then we would be asking God to replace his shoes. So all of this love stuff, it has a lot to do with our lifestyle, with our thought processes. It's what's in our heart. I have to admit, what was in my heart at one time was hatred. Hatred for people who didn't look like me. But I came to realize that when God put me in an all-white church, I had to come to realize who called me and the purpose God called me, that I was responsible for providing spiritual guidance and direction for them, for the non-blacks, the same as I was responsible for providing spiritual guidance and direction for black people. And that's what opened my heart to all people. And there are some black people that I don't want to be bothered with too. I mean, I look at it, look at their fruits. Some black people's fruits, I don't even want to be around. Because what did they say about one rotten apple in that basket? If it stays there long enough, it's going to do what? That's the truth. That's right. That's the truth. And if you got, think I'm kidding, say you got this church or this organization. You got a disgruntled person in that organization. You got a disgruntled person in that church. Well, I don't like the pastor because he doesn't wear the right color socks. Well, I don't like him either because his wife don't act right. people begin to find negatives, whenever people begin to find negatives, that promotes division. And that's the same mm-hmm. principle. You put that rotten apple in that basket, and eventually you might as well throw the whole basket away, because they're all going to turn. They're going to rot.
Yep.
The key word
like
is
wildfire.
Love. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right. And then you're going to sit there and wonder, I wonder what happened. And the more I read the word and meditate and reflect on the word, I'm convinced. What did Jesus say? He shook the dust off his sandals against those people and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to sit there, we got to love everybody. When people won't allow you to love them, people keep putting you through changes. You can't love them. Don't take it out on you that you did anything wrong. You tried. You reached out. You reached out. I know the denomination I was in, they said, just love them. Just love them. And their fruits were just as rotten as they could be. And some of them carried it to their grave.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let the Holy Spirit guide you and rightly divide the word. Even in families. Families as well. You can't, for some reason, people who are not saved and people who are saved, the love for them is going to be different. And it's going to come to a point where you're just going to wind up praying for them. You pray for them and keep it moving. Otherwise, they'll pull you down where they are. And there's nothing wrong with you, because your love reached out to them the same way God's love reached out to us. What does God do? God gives us freedom of choice. He tells us this is what, these are the rules, these are the commandments that you should follow. And if you don't follow these rules, these commandments, these are the consequences that you're going to have to bear. And but he loved us. He loved us. And forgiveness is another key. Again, you forgive yourself. Then you can reach out and forgive others. I just want us to stop and think about what it is we believe, why we believe it. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm here to challenge you. To challenge you to come into understanding of what it is that you believe and why you believe it. And that's what I had to do. Why do you believe that? Because X, Y, and Z. But I remember the Holy Spirit saying something to me, and I shrugged it off. Then my grandmama said, blah, 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 blah. And that what my grandmama said was true based on her understanding of the word. The Holy Spirit just carried me to another level. And here I just deny that Holy Spirit. I denied it and say, I'm going with what my grandmama said. And lots of times we miss out on blessings when we do that. I want us to just think. And I used to hear a lot of stuff in church. And it was tradition. It wasn't necessarily what the Bible says. It was what the interpretation of what the Bible says. But when I started reading it for myself, that's when I got another understanding. And by that, I was able to build a solid foundation that kept me going and kept me in the midst of trials and tribulations and helped me to be able to love others that years ago, there was no way I would have been able to love others. Because there was something in me that I had to deal with before I could love others. Now, I see we do have three people here, and I'm going to hear two voices, mine and another person. Oh, I guess I did neglect to, I might have neglected to introduce myself. I had a distraction at the beginning of the ministry hour. I am Apostle W.J. Armstrong, and Sister Mary is my sister-in-law, who is not with you today. And would you like to introduce yourself, Sister Barfield?
You said introduce myself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. My name is Sister Barfield, Lee Barfield. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. The church I go to is a holiness church, which I believe is just a way of life, so it's non-denominational. And I met Bishop Armstrong as a student at Barber Scotia College in North Carolina. Even though the classes were online, I believe once we both realized our love for the Lord and, trying to get, well, for myself, a proper understanding of God's word, we even after school was over, we still keep in contact. So that's pretty much it. Married, mother of four.
All right, we have a listener. I had asked Sister Basio if she would join us with the discussion. Our other listener, I think it was a 336 number. Well, okay. If you don't have any comments, I hope that something was said here today. And I hope the scripture was clarified. Something in it that touched you. It touched you in a way that caused you to want to do your research and to begin your study. Just take that scripture, Matthew 22, verse 36, 37, and just read it and sit with it and see what it's saying to you about love and the two, loving God, loving yourself, and love your neighbor. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you'd like to pray us out, Sister Barfield.
Okay. Eternal God, our Father, thank you, Lord, for what we have heard today. Thank you for the word that you've left for us to read in order to build a relationship with you. Thank you for those that are willing to have open discussion about the word of God in hope. And it is my hope that we'll all learn to come together and build our relationship with you even the more. Thank you for our life, health, and strength. Thank you for the healing that you have placed on this one thing or another that we all have been healed from at some point in time. And thank you for your grace and mercy over all our lives. And thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, as our mediator. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. I thank you for your time and for your participation. And we will speak soon. Thank you, and shalom.
Shalom.